inspired me to begin the session this way, because she turned to me at the previous session and said, well, I'm going to that humor workshop. It better be good. Not realizing that I was the person leading it. So I decided to, given that, I decided to start the session with by taking my shirt off.
I just want to take credit for the fact that I told him to bring beer.
Root beer is all I got. Okay, ready?
Never done this before.
Thank you.
I am a global warming hottie. Now, every one of these shirts has a different global warming fact on the back. Could you read this, please?
Oh, yeah.
Out loud.
Okay. Am I... Jesus. I didn't even know it was that bad. MIT predicts 9 degrees warming.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Okay, every one of my global warming hotties t-shirts has a different depressing fact on the back. My vision, and especially you college students in the room, every college campus in America... I want no residuals from this. I don't want to get rich. Start your own global warming hotties group on your campus. Spread the word. All right, so I took this photo yesterday going to Glacier National Park. En route to... Don't read my emails, please. Al Gore's going to be emailing me today. I should say, my name is Jim Poyser, managing editor of Nouveau News Weekly, an independent weekly in Indiana, and co-founder of the Apocadox. My co-presenter, Mary Bruno from Grist, quit her job on Thursday, and so she's not here with us today. But let us rejoice, she's happy, she changed jobs, she didn't tell me what it was. Anyway, I took this photo yesterday en route to Glacier National Park. Anybody on this? They showed us a video of it before we got there, which was very cool. It's beautiful 7-minute video, and I thought I would take that photo. All right, so you all have been working really hard, and I thought we'd just get started with watching a couple videos. I'm not going to do like a presentation where I talk for a while and then Q&A. This is obviously a different environment, so... I'll just start showing you some things that I think work. Obviously, the idea is to try and get people to pay attention to the thing that nobody wants to pay attention to, right. Which is, and I wrote a haiku about this about an hour ago, so you know where I'm coming from. I'm the guy you don't want to hang out with at a party, because I'm going to start telling you shit you don't want to hear. Or you're going to start drinking a lot more, and I hope to be doing that with all of you later on tonight. Thank you for making adjustments in the room. We will not be turning the lights on, however, but bring those down. Everybody happy with that? All right. Thank you. This comes from Grist. I wanted to honor Mary.
Right. So just before you go, there's a brilliant idea in here that I'd like to use. Now, it's called 10-10. The idea is everyone starts cutting their carbon emissions by 10%, thus keeping the planet safe for everyone eventually. Now, this hasn't got to be a huge thing, but I would love it if you and your families would think about doing something.
What sort of thing, miss?
Like getting your dad to insulate the loft, or taking your next holiday by train instead of flying, or buying energy-saving light bulbs. We're thinking of using our car less. I'm going to cycle to school. That's fantastic, Jemima. Now, no pressure at all, but it'd be great to get a sense of how many of you might do this. Just a rough percentage. That's fantastic! And there's North. Philip and Tracy. That's fine, that's absolutely fine. Your own choice. Okay, class, thank you so much for today, and I will see you. more tomorrow. Oh, just before you go, I just need to press this little button here. Everybody, please remember to read chapters 5 and 6 on volcanoes and glaciations.
I just want to, on that 10-10 thing, had some brilliant...
It goes on. And I was going to show John Stewart's Spilling Field, but I feel like we all know John Stewart, right? We all know why humor is effective, and I can come up with examples all day of really brilliant people who have a lot of money who are doing comedy about the environment, but I'm guessing probably not a lot of us in this room have those resources. So I want this to be really helpful to all of you. Some of you are doing this successfully. We want to hear from you. Some of you wonder if it's appropriate. Let's talk about that as well. But we also want to watch one more video. I have many more, but this one's kind of cool too. This is a little older.
Clifford Baines, who just isn't on top of his game today. Initiative. President Bush this week has pledged to increase the number of hybrid engine aircraft carriers being used in Iraq. Should we be doing more to make the war in Iraq more eco-friendly?
Absolutely. I mean, right now, each country that's engaged in a war is sending in their own separate troop transports. I don't understand why we're not simply carpooling.
Well, you know, we're testing an experimental with balsa wood, a Black Hawk, which just burns up if it's shot down. No waste at all.
And also would use a lot less fuel anyway, because it's a much lighter aircraft.
And they're fun to build.
There is talk now of perhaps getting the government to switch to using testicular squeezing instead of the actual electrical testicular torture.
There's no reason that torture should be wasteful. I mean, let's look at the big movies and what they were able to accomplish with some simple bamboo shoots over the fingernails.
I disagree. If you want to have a successful war, you need to have successful torture techniques, and you're going to need technology for that. Now, I would be behind a clean coal powered testicle electrocution if that would be possible.
Well, look, a wind powered generator that has the same shock to the testes.
We can go further. Goods of the prisoner should be made of organic hemp.
Now, many environmentalists have recommended that we start looking to third world nations as a model for more eco friendly
strategies. Great.
The Sudanese have, as you know, a long and bloody history of taking care of their environment.
Absolutely.
And there's a Sudanese saying that goes, wreak havoc upon your fellow man, but love and protect Mother Earth.
There's also North Korea. They have one of the largest armies in the world, but just they save a lot of consumption because they simply don't feed them.
There's no reason that you have to be emitting a bunch of toxins into the air to destroy a village. You simply go in there by foot, hack every living thing, child, woman, man, with a machete. That's zero emissions right there.
All right. So here's what I do. It's not a video. I have a website called Apocadox. I play a doctor on television. My partner, web partner Michael, met him at IU in 1978. We became instant best friends. He's the scientist in our duo. I'm the goofball. We published a book this year, self-published by createspace.com. And for 3 years, we have, you know why I joined this organization? Because I found that I was finding amazing stories written by people who actually belong to this organization. You might say I am the groupie of SEJ. And sometimes, and some of you authors may be in the room, I'll go up to you and say, I love that story on Bisphenol A, you rocked my world. And they go, okay. So every day, Michael's in Nova Scotia. The connectivity isn't always there. And I'm here enjoying this conference. So there's not been a lot of posts lately. We grab a great representative story regarding climate collapse, infectious disease, toxic pollution, etc. We post it, and we make what ideally is a funny quip alongside it. The idea being that you go to an item page. You might find a little blog that we wrote right there. You can then go to the source document. I don't know. Yeah, there we go. Then you get to read the whole story. So, but if we're like George Bush, we only read headlines anyway. I've gotten more and more into headlines myself, being a haiku writer. So this was a failed attempt to join the 10-10-10 movement. Y'all are familiar with 350.org, Bill McKibben's group. It's really the most exciting and most. Anytime you feel depressed about what's going on, go to 350.org. It's great. But we tried to get 350 jokes. As you can see, we got two. Can someone do the math? We got like 86 or something like that. Anyway, we had people send in jokes like that. They're really not that funny, but, you know. It's hard to be funny about how horrifying this is. So, again, you know, we need to talk about some success stories, talk through some of the issues surrounding this, and see if we can't find some way. How many of you are freelancers? There's a shitload of freelancers. Absolutely. How many editors?
In a way.
Okay, we'll be besieged after the workshop. But that leaves a number of you who fall out of every category imaginable. If you're not writers, you're not freelancers. What sort of other things are you doing? Somebody just jump in.
Producer.
What? Pardon me?
TV producer. Yeah.
Okay, fantastic. What else is some of the other people in the room up to?
Non-freelance writers.
Huh?
Non-freelance
writers. Thank you so much. They still exist?
Will the staff writer in the room please raise her hand? Endangered species.
Clint, you're the only one. Oh, two. Okay, you're my coffee friend, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we helped each other this morning. I don't know your name. What's your name? All right, so I think we should chat about why it's important. Don't look at my email, please. That's all I had planned. You guys want to listen to music now? You think I'm kidding? Let's see, did I make notes? Well, I tell you, I got some really good ideas at the climate. Population, carbon emission session. Bianca was there. That's where I met her. Did you guys see that session? Okay, we all know that endocrine disruptors like bisphenol A are everywhere. There was a study that came out in Japan. I could show you on my site where they have found bisphenol A everywhere in the atmosphere, all around the planet. Well, we know bisphenol A disrupts fertility, correct? So why, instead of trying to educate people into reproducing less or trying to demand that they reproduce less, why don't we just keep pumping endocrine disruptors into the environment? Like maybe even take it up a notch, you know? And then that way, there's just less fertility on the planet. We haven't told somebody what to do because people don't want to be told what to do. And we can't wait around for education because that's going to take too long. So when I heard the reproduction session, I thought, well, maybe a story about how we need to increase our bisphenol A production. Now, I don't know what publication that would go into, but it kept me entertained as well. So I know some of you, because we've been talking about this issue the past couple days, have used humor in your own work. So if somebody would like to jump in and share some of those. Anybody tried it and it worked, or anybody tried it and it failed? I want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
A million years ago, back in the 1970s, I used to do comedy on NPR, All Things Considered, out of Minnesota. And we'd do a lot of stuff. I did an anti-gun thing. They got more mail than they'd ever gotten in their entire life.
Uh-huh. Did you do? What was the humorous take that you had?
Oh, just a bunch of hunters out there in the woods, you know, shooting everybody and shooting everything up. But, no, I mean, there is a decline. I mean, there isn't. We need more comedy on global warming. And I liked your striptease very much. Because
some of you missed the striptease. And
No, I remember a Second City joke years ago where a woman comes out and starts stripping on stage to the music of Bach. And the guy says, who said you can't sell classical music on Broadway?
Can we make room for you folks? Please come on in.
There's one seat here. There's room up here, but no chairs.
Room, but no chairs. Well, you know, they stuck us in this small room, I guess, but we can tell there's a real interest in this. I just wish I had something to help you. No, I'm kidding. We'll have all sorts of realizations. Don't trip over the wires or break the internet. There you go. I don't need any more power. Who else? Thank you.
Yeah, I have a regular column for the newspaper that I work on.
Which newspaper?
I'm from not around here. yeah, I'm from New Zealand, so I have to plant a lot of trees when I get back home to offset my carbon emissions. But I'm an environmental reporter. I edit an environmental page, and I do a reasonably infrequent column in which I basically take the piss out of myself and my feeble efforts to save the planet. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, talking about things like, you know, trapping the methane in my toilet and maybe using it as a boil of water.
I'd be thrilled to take a look at it. Do you want to, come type it in?
I've
live.
Got one on a USB drive.
Okay, yep. Whatever the heck you just said.
It's you guys that keep ruining the language.
The universe. I don't know how. No,
humor in the words.
I heard what you said. I thought University of South Bend. It just doesn't exist. That's my hometown. Well, he's putting in the whatever he's putting in. My book, blah, 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 blah. Actually, while I was plugging that in, I saw another hand, Clint.
Yeah, I mean, what I was thinking, have I ever used, I would write about the clean energy industry, and I write a regular column for my website, Clean Energy. And the closest thing that it came was just like sarcasm. Just like, you know, some congressman inserting some coal subsidy in a clean energy. You know, just throwing in a line like, I'm sure that'll help reduce carbon emissions. Yeah, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, I never, like, set out to write a column that was funny all the way through.
Sarcasm. Maybe, like, be real academic about this, Joe and Jilly, and think of the different forms of humor. There's sarcasm.
Irony.
Irony. Mm-hmm. Absurdity, one of my favorites.
I'm dying to get a sick day.
Oh, there you go. No, you stay up there. Why don't you leave the session? I am totally out of ideas.
Well, obviously, this is when I had a lot more hair. So.
Oh, no, I don't kind of want to big myself up too much, but you guys are welcome to sort of read it. If I can work out this Mac.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you.
Oh,
all right, so this is, you're Jeff. Hello, Jeff.
Yeah,
hi. Eco Warrior. Oh, my God, that's brilliant.
I stole it from the Times of London.
That's great. He's an eco warrior.
Yeah.
That's good.
Thanks.
That's good.
You're all good. Feel free to steal it off me. I took it from someone else.
What's the whole headline?
Well, I don't know. I don't think you guys have the word bodge here.
Oh.
It's like kind of when you put something together that's really not very good out of a bunch of old materials that you find around your yard or, in my case, in the car park at the newspaper where I work. So we keep a few chickens at my house, and I took some wooden packing crates and just banged them together into a really dodgy chicken coop. And,
that's great. So, Jeff, how long have you been doing this?
Writing on the environment or trying to make people laugh?
This humor is a blog. Just personal, there's a personal take on it that you're doing?
Yeah, very much so. Probably about 3 or 4 years now.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, I'm just not really getting a real handle on your Mac yet.
I don't know how to make it work.
Well, you can't understand me talk, so.
It was more the techno talk than it was the articulation.
Sorry, I really am having trouble with the Mac here. How can I maximize this somehow?
The zoom is up on top there.
Zoom on the top. Okay. You guys can just look at the pretty picture of the sushi in the meantime.
Absolutely.
You mean you want to share the whole page, right?
Yeah, that's what now we're getting there. But now I guess you can't read the words, huh?
Now hit the green button.
To make it the whole page.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, so I'm a PC user, so this is just all new territory for me.
Which paper
is this? It's the Waikato Times. It's
well, it looks better.
It's the largest afternoon daily newspaper in the Southern Hemisphere. So, yeah, we do about 44,000 copies a day, about 140,000 readers.
What city is it on?
Sorry?
What city?
Hamilton, which is about an hour and a half south of Auckland. About 2.5 hours from Mount Doom for you Lord of the Rings fans. And you probably just passed on through afterwards, didn't you?
No, we actually took a day trip from Auckland.
Oh, good. Okay. And you hated it and couldn't wait to get out?
All right.
So this idea of a persona, he's the eco warrior, and giving the persona a funny name, is that a little technique?
I like that a lot.
Yeah,
I'd be more apt to read a story about the environment. I'm seeing his face.
I think you see most of the
and he's got a nice little. I get the sense I'm not going to be bashed over the head, right? Isn't ultimately that's what
oh,
we
I'm
mean.
Just taking
what
the,
humor,
just taking the piss out of myself.
Yes,
yeah, totally.
Exactly.
I mean, there's no point in trying to make it too serious or people are just going to switch off,
right.
Like you said at the start.
And I think that, I mean, does anybody disagree with that premise? I mean, that's pretty apt way to put it. So, well, thank you, Jeff, and you can still stay up there.
No,
anybody else have something they have done and they want to put it up on the interweb
too?
Jeff, what's your last name?
Just names, N-E-E-M-S. Just come see me at the end. I'll give you a business card. I bought about a million of them.
He means the end of the
dance. The end
party.
Of the world, yeah.
Yes. I actually started a blog about 4 weeks ago because I wanted to have a platform ready for this. I've blogged a couple times. My blogs aren't that funny because I'm still trying to find that way to be sarcastic. I hope that gentleman doesn't leave right there with somebody. It's Jack. Can I call you Jack?
Yeah, sure.
He was the most hilarious person here so far. Did you see his session last time? I mean, we were just falling over laughing. And I actually have a question for you, sir. You've studied the carbon footprint impact of divorces.
Yes.
Is that correct? Now, do you want to talk about that for a second? Because this is hilarious, but it also directly impacts what we're talking about.
Tell the story. Tell the title of the story in Divorce Magazine.
Okay. I'm an ecologist by training, but I'm a non-traditional ecologist. As some of you know, that the ecologists they usually focus on micro ecosystems away from humans. But I work on systems which humans are part of the ecosystems. So when we try to do research, we try to be concrete specific. And a lot of times when people do research on population, human population impact, it's very abstract. You've got a big number there. The population size is such, right? And a lot of people cannot make that connection. So our research actually had in China, that's a long-term study site in the Panda Reserve. And unlike many nature reserves in U.S., the local people in there. And actually 90-95% of the nature reserves in China and many other developing countries have local people in it. So we use that reserve as a laboratory to generate ideas. One thing we find out is when people get divorced, they have a new household. And then you need more places to live. And then you cut down more trees to build houses. And then you have a lot of other consequences. So that idea stimulated my thinking so to do a more global study. And for example, we include data from US and many other countries. We find that in the US, for example, there are 60 million households, a divorced household. By divorced household, I mean the household head is a divorced person, right? So that accounts for about 15% of all the households in the US.
Uh-huh.
So we estimate how much space they occupy once they get divorced, and then also how much more energy they use, how much more water they use, and so on and so forth. So they come out with big numbers.
Uh-huh.
And actually, the paper was published a few years ago in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences in 2007. And we still get inquiries from reporters and to talk about those issues. And how many of you know Ross Limbaugh? He even uses paper.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In his radio talk show.
Uh-huh.
And when our goal was going to separate.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, it's researched by father fight. Maybe you were the son, but it was bad for the climate and for the environment, and now our boy is going to get divorced.
Well, thank you. That's and you're, what it, my sense of the research that you're doing, it's fascinating. And I tell you, the thought that I had while you did that, I mean, let's be honest, the divorce is often precipitated by extramarital affair. And I wondered if you could maybe dig in and do some research on the carbon footprint of extramarital affairs. Because when you think about all that driving around and, you know, I mean, all that stuff that goes on, and then
taking cell phone.
But if
exactly,
get,
yes.
If they get divorced and move in with the affair person, then
oh, that would actually. Oh,
well, that was getting better.
Yeah.
And now there's another divorce house.
When you have children, children usually stay with one side of the parents. And children have to drive and then run. And then, besides that, a lot of small children have to have two sets of toys.
Yeah. So this is, to me, that I got very excited. I mean, of course, I'm a little bit more tuned into this because I knew I was going to have to be at this gathering. Listening to Jack's research, I thought, well, there's, you know, this is a great way into telling the carbon emission story that has that human angle. What other responses to that or other ideas regarding that? Anybody want
to
pipe in?
Well, I wondered if a couple were de facto in divorce, whether the carbon footprint was still going to explode. Rather than divorce, if they just weren't married. Sorry.
Oh, we need a study on that too. If you get remarried, actually, the footprint will decrease. And back to the situation before you get divorced. So there are a lot of interesting dynamics.
There, a light bulb went up over your head. I don't know whether it was a random light bulb or.
Was it LED?
Yes.
I thought I'd segue there from the light bulb going over the head up. This is just an opportunity I couldn't pass up. My wife and I produce a series of 1-minute PSAs on sustainable living, and we, based on her graduate work, has decided to do social modeling and humor to try and affect change rather than a lot of research and interviews and writing. And I was so looking forward to passing this DVD along to Mary Bruno.
Because
my wife thought that maybe Chris might be interested in showing any of these. So I didn't know if you might be interested in
it. Yeah, let's look at it.
One on here.
Because Mary's not here, and as I always said to my kids, you're SOL, certainly out of luck.
And
certainly out of luck.
The series is called Green Smarts with the Green Man. My wife is the producer and the brains behind the operation, and I just get to run around and act silly because I'm the green man, and I'm not a Mac person, so I'm hoping this is going to load by itself here in a second.
Yeah, it might.
But in any case, we started about 7 years ago a small educational nonprofit, thinking that would be the route to go, and the mistake we made was not having like a foundation or a trust fund or something beforehand. And the one that there's about a dozen of them here that we've produced so far, but one of them is called Green Man's Bright Idea, I think, which when you said the light bulb going off over the head, I won't totally embarrass myself and leave here in shame, but here's the... Okay, now you're missing let me just go back. It's hard not to laugh, I know, but let me go back to the beginning. I'm sorry. Okay, here we go. If I may.
And is that your wife on the voiceover?
Yeah, she's the voiceover. Right. And she's the...
Wow! Old-style bulbs. Careful, green man. They're fragile.
I'll replay it when it's done. It's just...
Super efficient light-emitting diodes. Futuristic. Green man is so excited about all his energy-efficient lighting options. Look at how much energy Green Man is saving now. Green Man, what a guy.
Anyway, so I'd like to hand this off to you.
Yes, I now have no one to give it to, but I'm really glad to take it on yourself.
Can we watch those online somewhere?
Yes, they're at greenmantv.org, which is actually just a page that links to our YouTube page, but instead of trying to give everybody that whole URL, we did this. And, and then you can play them all, but I was just trying to think. If I could play this one has been, and then I'll let someone else take over, but this one, we're from Billings. We're from Billings, Montana, and we actually, one of the first times that we got any real support for this, other than some trade with some local businesses for sponsorship, was the city of Billings, after seeing one that we'd done on pharmaceutical waste and how to properly dispose of that, the water department contacted us to see if they could put that on their website and put their logo on it, and then they contracted us to do two more specific issues to Billings, and one was about the storm drain system and non-point source pollution, and then one was about the irrigation ditches, because Billings and the agricultural area there is supported a lot from irrigation systems, and a lot of people just put their yard waste or fling their doggy doo in there and car batteries and everything. And so we ended up actually getting a little bit of income, but this is one that we did, which showed how we tried to take what you'd think is a boring issue that they might just say, things drain to the river if they go down the drain.
Litter makes Green Man sad, especially on rainy days, when all kinds of crazy stuff washes into the stream. Good thing Green Man's prepared. But wait, what's that? Car washing runoff?
Oh no!
Construction site runoff? Yikes! Toxic auto fluids. Is that oil and antifreeze? Careful, Green Man. Doggy do. Don't touch it. Doggy. What now? Lawn chemical runoff? Yard waste? What's next? Let's get out of here. Where's the exit? Why, Green Man, it's the river. Uh-oh. Thanks, Green Man. What a guy.
So I, I get most of the accolades for this, but my wife really, writes the script and directs. And other than, do I just hit eject or I have to haul this to the trash or just leave it in here? And you can.
I don't know. Just leave it in there. I'm so glad. That's brilliant stuff. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, what else does somebody want to share? Yes, Sarah.
I can share something.
Please do.
It's not as funny as Green.
Hard to follow.
Thank you.
I think this would be an example of something that...
You want a website?
Yeah. Okay. Where it's not funny throughout, but you use humor to get someone's attention.
We have a YouTube page, too, if you want to like it. Distributed amongst your friends.
No, we have to log in again. What is it? It's a Grizz guest.
And go Grizz.
I don't know why it bumps us off the server like that.
I'm sorry, I meant Facebook. We have a Facebook. That's just Grizz. I think it's, I don't know, it's Green Smarts with the Green Man. I'm not sure what was the actual.
Oh, we should lock it up when you use the chicken.
Yeah.
Before we get started, maybe you should have a disclaimer on there that says no actual watersheds were harmed.
You know, it's funny because people have asked about a lot of those things when I.
And we work at EPA and we have video contests all the time. We're always looking for a viral video.
Oh, check out our exchange cards with you.
Those were Baby Ruth bars, right?
Yeah. We were wondering.
Yeah, no, we we made our own with like a recipe off the internet for homemade Play-Doh, and we just changed the color. It looks really good in real life. It show up on the screen.
I know we haven't done this yet, but when you have something to show, just introduce yourself and where
okay.
you're from, and then we'll proceed from there.
I'm Sarah Peach. I'm from North Carolina, and since I have your attention, I'll say this is from the website that I got an award for, but I did not do this video.
What's the website?
Poweringanation.org.
What is a green job? What is a green job? Boy, that's a toughie. I feel like before that we have to get this issue of like, what is green? I mean, I talk to people all the time, they're like, green this, green that. You can't open a newspaper without seeing green these days.
Green jobs are renewable energy, sustainable methods, solar, wind, wave, and geothermal. Hugging a tree, solar, winds, and other alternatives, their agriculture, their food production, their weatherization.
It's social, environmental, and economic.
Which is probably 75-80% of the jobs in the United States.
People go green for one reason, for the money.
I mean, really, green jobs are a paradigm shift of how we need to be doing all jobs. And ultimately, we're going to, I think, get rid of this term green jobs, and it's more going to be about greening all jobs.
Very nice.
On the website, .org or .com?
Either one.
Oh, good.
What is the website again? It's called poweringanation.org. Powering the Nation.
Powering
A Nation. A Nation. Were those unscripted responses or were those?
It was unscripted.
Wow.
But masterfully edited to appear as if scripted, I'm guessing.
So,
yes.
So I have a text thing that's about an environmental issue or a video that's only fringe about a green issue.
Well, actually, interesting you say that. I was sensing intuitively that we need to address some text issues. Would
okay.
you like to do that?
Wreckingballreport.com.
This would require me to type. Do you want to come up, or is that hard? Is that can you?
I'll
let's do it.
On.
Let's completely switch vectors here.
Should I strip tease across the table?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll do text then.
Was that .org?
Who are you?
.com.
Introduce yourself.
So this.
Tell us who you are.
My name's Eric Mack, and I'm a freelancer. And this was a blog that I started around the 2008 election just because I wanted to try and do some humorous things involving politics, and it kind of continued on. And it actually led to a job with editing AOL's, one of AOL's men's humor sites, which lasted 9 months before I got downsized. And it's interesting to try and do something humorous in such a humorless corporation. But so this is more recent, and this is something I wrote just out of the pure frustration, unfunny frustration and anger of watching the hearings with Tony Hayward after the spill, and the amount of just complete grandstanding that it seemed that the senators were doing in questioning him and just trying to score political points without, it seemed to me, really getting at the problem and the issue at hand. And as I was watching it, I realized later, when I was having a conversation with my daughter, that she could probably have done a better job. And so this is... What's that? Does anyone want to... I can play my daughter. So I can be Flora Mack, and I'll read... yes, somebody want to do Tony Hayward? And you got it? Okay. So whoever wants to be Tony... Okay, go ahead and start. You can do the hearing chair. He's only in it once. But. Go ahead.
We will not rest until we stop this well, mitigate the environmental impacts of the spill, and address economic claims in a responsible manner. No resource available to this company will be spared. We and the entire industry will learn from this terrible event and emerge from it stronger, smarter, and safer.
I appreciate you being here. I'll let young Miss Flora Mack, who is sitting on this panel, Channel 4 representative Waxman. Start things off. Go ahead, young lady.
You a funny man.
Oh, no, madam. I assure you I take this tragedy very seriously.
Very seriously!
Indeed. That is why we've committed to pay all legal claims related to the loss of livelihood or damage to property or the environment.
I'm Floa. I'm too. I'm a widow girl.
We aren't one of those corporations driven solely by greed or profit. Everyone in our company is looking out for all the small people.
Everyone? Yeah. I'm a big girl when I sit on the potty, though.
I think I understand what you're saying. I agree. It is of utmost importance that BP and the government of the United States continue to work tirelessly until this unfortunate situation is resolved. Then perhaps I can finally have my life back, and together we can
I saw a bird once. It was scary. It was black.
BP is doing everything in our power to limit the environmental ecosystem damage, working in concert with the government, the Coast Guard, NGOs, providing equipment to scrub oil birds. Whatever it takes, we will make this right. Because as I said earlier, this accident has saddened me deeply and personally.
Why?
Well, because it's such an unprecedented and unforeseen tragedy that could not have been prevented.
Why?
Well, because all safety measures were taken and everything was done properly and according to regulations and protocols. These things just happen, I'm afraid.
But why?
You can never have a contingency plan for every scenario. We have thousands of wells like that one, but each with its own set of unique risks.
But why?
With all due respect, my job is to create value for our shareholders. And we do this by finding a supply of oil to meet the demand. These days, that supply isn't as high.
But why?
Because we used up all the easy to get stuff years ago, and now all that's left is the Earth's crust where underplaced terrorists live.
But why?
And frankly, given the stricter regulations imposed by European nations on drilling in the North Sea, it makes much more sense, really, to hit it hard over here. Drill, baby, drill, right? Cowboys and Indians and Beverly Hillbillies over here, isn't it? You people all ought to be thanking us, honestly. Even after spilling a little oil in your most unimpressive white trash beaches, they'll pay half as much for a gallon as it would be in London. Why don't you people ride a bike every now and then, anyway? I feel like Kate Moss walking around Houston. Your ult was huge. In fact, I just spoke. There aren't any small people here for us to look out for.
You a poophead.
I get all of it.
So anyway, that was just like kind of a burst of inspiration one night, and it'll be in a literary journal. It published a small one in the Southwest later this year, but yeah, that's it.
Thank you.
All right, this made the rounds in the SEJ listserv. It reminds me also on the issue of, do I have it? Andy Borowitz's piece. Did everybody see that?
Are you talking about the video you showed at the beginning?
No, I'm talking about an actual story he wrote about BP and the Gulf spill. I thought I had it bookmarked. Maybe I don't. So that's an example of you got impassioned and didn't know what to do with it. And so you racked your brain and figured out a way to tell that story. And I think the script idea is brilliant. I think it's a great way to tackle this.
On the first one you showed, did you see the amount of consternation that came across where people just didn't think it was funny and the Guardian had to pull it
down? Exactly, yeah.
And I couldn't believe it caused so much trouble. And finally somebody wrote in and said, Monty Python, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it did. It was very...
Which one are you talking about?
The one where they blew up the head.
Yeah. Oh, yes, yes, yes. There was a lot of controversy. So can you see this? Would you read this, please, sir?
Gulf of Mexico, the Borowitz Report. At a time when many thought that news out of the Gulf of Mexico couldn't get any worse. BP announced today that the oil in the Gulf needs to be changed every 6 months. Yeah, the oil will need to be changed every 6 months or every 15,000 lives, said the BP spokesperson, whatever comes sooner. The announcement about the oil change came on the heels of BP's decision earlier in the week to separate the Gulf into two sections, full serve and self serve. Sensing that the company was staring down a deepening public relations disaster, BP CEO Tony Hayward attempted to sound a compassionate note. If this sort of damage were being inflicted on my yacht, I would be devastated. According to experts, the BP oil spill is now the second worst leak in U.S. history after Michael Steele's mouth.
All right, so there you go. Andy Borowitz is probably a full-time employee of his own website at this point, right? Don't you imagine the speaking engagement? The guy's brilliant with the satire. Yes?
I have a really great one. Everybody here probably knows The Onion, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, did everyone see the one on the EPA?
Do you have a specific URL?
Absolutely, yeah.
Because we start looking at this, we're... Say that again?
TheOnion.com.
Yeah.
www.onion.com. And then just go up to the top and type in Lisa Jackson. And it'll bring it up. It should bring it up on a search. First one, yeah, it's right there with the photo. And it's just hilarious. This was right at oil spill. And she was tearful. I mean, it's really, we worked tirelessly to show the health and safety of our natural environment. Visibly angered EPA Administrator Lisa Jackson told reporters, but this can only work when it's a give and take. The environment won't even meet us halfway by regenerating a rainforest or two or pumping out some clean air and water every once in a while. And what's the point of us trying? I'm as committed to saving Earth as anyone, but for crying out loud, when is the Earth going to hold up this end of the bargain? I mean, it's just, and it's really...
Say your name, please.
Marcia Johnson.
Thank you, Marcia. I saw another hand. Another example?
I'm Erica, guys. This is also on The Onion. Millions of barrels of oil safely reach port in major environmental catastrophe. And it goes on to discuss, the obvious burning oil and cars and lovely picture of stopped traffic.
When I think that, The Onion is so good at simply writing a headline.
It is.
It's really all you need, and it's deceptively simple. I don't know if any of you have tried to write a headline as brilliant as The Onion people do. It's tough to do. Yes?
Yeah, I'm thinking of Carl Hiaasen. His books do seem good. They're sort of one tiny twist off the actual news story.
Mm-hmm.
But they're brilliant, and I've tried to do it, and I can't. I just can't get there, but I love that.
Anybody else sort of go ahead, Eric.
I was wondering if anybody heard John Stewart on Fresh Air, Terry Gross.
I did.
I thought it was really interesting on some of the stories that they do on The Daily Show. The amount of research that goes into fact checking their own work exceeds what a lot of journalists do. And and Terry Gross was saying it sounds a lot like journalism. He was saying no, we're just checking the facts because it's not funny if it's not true.
Yeah, great point. He also said in that interview that his proudest accomplishment, and help me out with what the subject was. What I remember, he said the proudest he ever was when they took something that made them incredibly sad and turned it into humor, because they didn't feel like they could, and this is often how I feel. I'm so bereft by the challenges this planet faces and the apparent dreamland that we are waltzing through.
Right.
And
it was when a bill to compensate 9/11 emergency workers died in the House or in the Congress.
And they were so bereft, but then they came up with some concept that helped them get through. They used their creativity to come up with something funny.
I
pull
it up. Leah Goodman.
Okay.
I didn't write this. I don't know if anyone knows, but the creator of Dilbert, the comic series.
Yeah.
He started writing things for the Wall Street Journal about the environment in particular. And I'm just going to pull up one of his things. He's done a bunch, and he's even done something on how he does it, how to write humor out of some of these tragic events.
Yeah,
Bear with me.
That's the competitor, Google.com.
you got to admit that there that was go. Brilliant of the Google.com people to come up with that one. It's funny that BP gets that top billing there.
Mm-hmm.
They bought the search engine optimization to be able to do that.
This is June 5th, so remember this happened in April, and he wrote about it in June. But his intro was, when I heard that BP was destroying a big portion of Earth, with no serious discussion of cutting their dividend, I had two thoughts. One, I hate them, and two, this would be an excellent time to buy BP stock. And so I did, although I should have waited a week. And then he goes through the iteration of basically hating himself while he tried to parlay this catastrophe. He's also now, he's sort of taken his money, and he's now sort of a financial manager, so he's trying to make fun of himself, I guess, maybe to assuage his guilt.
And you said he actually has a piece on trying to be funny about stuff that's
not funny. Yeah, here, I'll pull it up. I'll pull that up soon. It's definitely worth... I haven't read it, but I saw the headline.
Because you might notice I brought no scholarship with me to this session.
I'll pull it up and see what it says.
Rebecca, you had your hand up.
Well, I was going to say that along with the BP humor, there was somebody on Twitter that was tweeting under BP Global PR.
The logo, he invented the logo
with the dripping.
Say your name again? Leah?
Oh, Leah Goodman.
Okay,
and
so Leah.
He's on,
apparently, you have to belong to WallStreetJournal.com to read this. Is there anywhere else?
I can just send everybody the link. If you give me your card, I'll send you the link.
Okay,
send it.
That'd be great.
One other thing, he wrote about how he and his wife spent millions building a green home. That was his. He just wrote that piece the last couple of months, and it was basically a blow by blow of the total humiliation of spending all this money and not really feeling like he was really improving that much on how hard it is, no matter how much money you have to do this, that it's still very difficult to build a green home.
So this is an example of somebody who basically is doing a personal narrative about their efforts to be green or whatever. Who else? Rebecca?
Oh, I just wanted to share that Twitter feed from the BP Global.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
PR.
Sure.
Go to YouTube and put in BP Spills Coffee.
BP Spills Coffee?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
See, y'all aren't getting anything done. You're watching videos. Oh, I did, didn't I? Okay, which one? This one?
Any of them.
Any of them. They're all the same.
Are you going to charge
them
the best plan of action again? Don't worry about it. It's a small spill in a very large table.
Just how much coffee was spilled?
Yeah, that's a lot of coffee. Well, we better hurry up because it's almost reached my laptop. It's also going to destroy all the fish.
Oh, boy. Look at that.
But God, it's encroaching on my map of Louisiana.
Wait. I've got a brilliant idea. All set.
Anybody have anything they brought with them? The stairs? Did everybody get a chance to show their own stuff?
Wait.
Right.
I'm really confident. Oh, gosh. How do you make it smaller? All right, I'm doing this more to bring up a more serious question.
This is the wrong place for that.
That's next door.
My co-author's not here, so she's presenting. Our website works. Okay, so GreatLakesEcho.org is like a bioregional news service out of Michigan State. We usually cover science, but we were trying to think of a better way to communicate science. So we were like, well, what better way to do that than to make a bracket for invasive species? I'm not going to read it out loud. Basically, what we're doing is we pitted Great Lakes invasive species against each other, trying to be humorous. Not really that funny, but let me show you the bracket. Right, so here. We had people vote and we gave them nicknames and stuff like that. I couldn't make the worst part is I couldn't make the PDF writable, so I could make all these things. I'm not going to read out loud. Some parts are funny, some parts are failures. But it was kind of what we were thinking is a new way to communicate science. But the debate in our newsroom was, well, is this journalism? And even though I wrote it, I was like, well, it's more science education. But we didn't know where the line really is. If it's really journalism. Like, we usually cover science, and this is obviously science education, but I just kind of want to get your input on where that line is, or if it's possible to merge those two areas. Does that make sense? Too serious? Sorry. We can just all vote.
No, this is great. We have, like, 11 minutes left, and we should really talk about this.
Right.
Because what we have, like I said earlier, people can start their own website. Jeff started a blog, a paper. But we're doing things outside what we might call traditional journalism vectors. So I think that's a great question. What do people think?
I thought it was great. I saw the printout out on one of the tables.
Oh, good. Yeah.
It caught my eye right away. So I thought it was a different way of presenting factual information. It might not be like the funniest, but it was visually, it had visual impact and it called to mind something else that was immediately possible. So it gave people a framework for processing the information and contextualizing it.
Right. And I guess we were thinking that, what are the things you remember about the news? Like Jon Stewart skits, you remember. The BP spills coffee, you remember. So adding humor so you can remember like hard facts, that was kind of what we were going for. But there definitely is a line where you're kind of going. I mean, obviously I wouldn't nickname my regular sources. Like Betty, I'm like, and call her like the blondie or whatever. Like I wouldn't do that. So we definitely crossed the line there. But I think that's a good thing to bring up in terms of you have to be careful. I feel like we always go to like, you know, really boring or like really to the extreme, and it's hard to find that middle ground. Maybe not really boring.
Well, what are some tactics that you've used that did work? Does anybody have, like, again, a success story? Let's stick with print if we can, although
I kind of wanted to address the is it journalism
question. Yes, please do.
Right.
Because I'm thinking about editorial cartoons. And,
right.
You know, there's the whole, like, is it on the editorial side or the news side, so maybe a question of whether it's news. But I've definitely seen, like, big spreads where there's a lot of information, but it's set up like a Candyland board. And think that that's, I don't even know where I saw that, but I know that I've seen that sort of thing. And I think that it is a valid way if you think of it in that category. But all the categories, everything's up in the air.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, everything is changing so fast. And I think that in some ways we need to even throw out the argument while we're creating the different forms. And then at some point when we have a diversity of forms, we can start to say this is more this.
Right. And I guess what we're thinking is that, I mean, we're all multimedia journalists now. Like, the whole idea is we're online is that readers can be interactive, so we want, like, these alternative story forms. I mean, this way we did, like, instead of cage fights, we did, like, fights, and I thought that was so funny. You know? Didn't really end up being that funny. But that's what we decided, just to throw caution to the wind. We're like, well, we might lose readers over this because our credibility, you know, we don't have that many readers, but... Right. So
I think it's editorial, though. To me, that would be the difference. Is
right.
On all of these, you do have a viewpoint.
Right.
So you're going. So you would have to regard it more as editorial versus factual, even if
right.
it's factual.
But here, we present the issue and let the readers decide. Also.
Yeah, it's editorial.
Right.
It doesn't have to be editorial cartoons.
Right.
It can be infographics.
Yeah.
Where you're doing it in a more playful kind of way. So I see.
Right.
But I think the argument of whether it's journalism or not is almost completely irrelevant because it's only journalists that are really going to have that argument.
but should we still be careful, though, because we have all these blogs that people are taking as news, so I feel like you have a responsibility to keep that line clear, even if, you know...
Yeah.
Well, just
yeah,
to play
I
devil's advocate.
I don't think there's any opinion in that, really. You're just stating that these...
Well, we all say they're awful in different ways, which I guess they... I mean, who's
going
to argue
that?
Well, the
opinion is that they're bad, which
right.
I mean, that's why they're invasive species, so that's
right.
Not right. I mean, that's kind of matter.
But they do have positives that I admittedly didn't bring up in some of them, so...
But
I mean,
the story brings up everything.
Right, exactly. I mean, I'm just debating here. I don't really have
right.
an answer, so...
I think if our job is to communicate with the public, there's a lot of competition for the public's attention, and so any... You know, anything you can do to make it more more attention grabbing, that'd be great.
That's particularly pertinent with this idea of green fatigue floating around now as well, where people
yeah.
are just greened out.
Right.
What we do is not the flavor of the
month. It's very tricky. It is really a really difficult line.
Yeah.
I work with BBC and I work with World Service, and occasionally I've done slightly more, less than straight reporting instead of audio diary.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly, slightly funny. And the difficulty then is becomes, you know, you pigeonhole is the guy who does the kind of funny takes and why there's too many fond of news and
right.
the COP 15 and stuff like that. So it's really, really difficult. And also, with you know, there is that danger that people can click on something that you've seen where that they purport, they believe to be, you know, a serious report from a supposedly BBC correspondent about something that's happening in Copenhagen. So, it's really for people's organization. I think, you know, the way we really kind of handle it is we kind of buy it out. We buy it in from people who are funny on the outside. Our own people
keeping
funny
yeah
anyway, it's very, very
hard to get out of that, you know, identity you set for yourself once you set it. And I think your example when you had like you caught people with a funny angle, like, and then you probably went to more harder reporting. I don't know what the story was about,
yeah,
but
that was one part of a larger package about green jobs in Detroit.
Right. Anyways, so that's that. Just wanted to bring it up. You can still turn your brackets in. So go to the Michigan State
well,
University
let me
table.
Add to the content is not only humorous. It has the added value of being designed.
Right.
It, you're not just
the underlying goal was to be educational
yes.
in a science way. But I mean, people weren't just going to read facts unless we gave them like you know fighter names and stuff. So
yeah.
yeah.
Alice, thank you so much. That is a fantastic resource, that website. I've used it a number of times.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
I never think people read it.
I do. Now, there's about 5 minutes left, so I want
thank
you to know
you.
You've just been dying to say something. Please say that.
Oh,
yes, go ahead.
Sorry. So yesterday, I was just looking up Epic, but we talked about really briefly. Yesterday, we were at the site, and it's basically like, you went to Berkeley Pit, and it's like a red lake, and they have to take the ducks off it in order so that they don't get
Go ahead.
As an undergrad, I studied film, and my senior seminar was in film comedy. And the basic premise that the professor was trying to get across to us was that film comedy deals with very serious subjects. It creates a margin of safety so that you have a little bit of space so you can get perspective and you can laugh at something that is fundamentally not funny. So there's a classic movie, The Apartment, with Jack Lemmon and Shirley MacLaine, that's about suicide and infidelity. We saw a whole series of movies, one of which was Charlie Chaplin's The Great Dictator, which is about Hitler and World War II, profoundly unfunny subjects. And comedy, at least in the film context, and I haven't studied it outside of that, but comedy in film deals specifically with very serious subjects. So I don't think, you know, I don't know how you want to think about extrapolating that to a journalism venue, but I think that's part of what comedy is about and what comedy does and what people's experience of comedy is. It's just a question of doing it effectively. Are any of you ever going to go to Wesleyan University and study film? Because I swore I'd never tell what the final exam question was. But my final exam question, and I had a lot of trouble with The Great Dictator. I was sobbing through the whole movie because my family were refugees in Germany, or out of Germany. But the final exam question, don't tell anybody who's going to study film at Wesleyan, was how funny is Hitler? It's kind of not a funny question, but that's exactly what it was. So I think that it is appropriate to use comedy on serious subjects. You have to just do it carefully.
Well, and bringing this back to why we're here, how funny is I don't know how imminent you believe it is. I believe it's imminent. How funny is the collapse of our ecosystem as a habitat for human beings to thrive? Yeah. You know, I mean, it's the least funny thing I can think of. And it's such a polarized ideological issue. I see humor as a way to transcend that. If you get everybody laughing about it, then maybe next we can all cry about it together, and then somehow that leads to action as well. And hug. And dance parties. Those are essential. Yes?
I work with Voice of America Television, and to do humor visually is not easy, especially if you're going to be translated into 45 languages.
Good point.
Because humor, the translation of humor is complicated. You cannot mention specific names, that doesn't mean anything for someone in Swahili. So it's hard. My only close attempt to do a story with some sense of humor was a story called Votes for Rent, which was an attempt. Did you see it? It was an attempt to cut down in the use of weed killers, insecticides, and pesticides throughout the land, especially in wetlands. And so this group is promoting the use of animals that will do the job. And in this case was goats, which was perfect. And so I am doing the story with the goats, and of course they are adorable and cute and all over, and I'm interviewing this person. And in the middle of the interview, I noticed the goat is eating her coat. So in the interview with the camera, I go, whoop! Munching happy on her coat. I thought it was hilarious. But the whole story is not funny. It's just cute, because the goats keep popping up throughout the story. It's in YouTube. It's not a funny story, it's just cute. It was my only attempt to do something with a big media that does not allow
bring up another window so
and with an international audience that is very difficult to translate.
Okay, so what is it, YouTube, goats and things?
Going to YouTube and type goats for rent.
Goats for rent?
Yeah. I think it should pop up.
There's a goats for sale. No?
And that's where I saw it, and it showed up. I think it was
that a VOA
it was
YouTube?
Spotlighted or something.
VOA?
Yes, yeah. VOA video.
Yeah,
yep.
These hungry workers are very efficient. They eat most of the day, chewing on these invasive thorny roses. And for the most part, they seem very happy to do the job. 50 goats and their two kids have been brought to clear 2 hectares of wetland in Carroll County, Maryland. Jim Wilds is their shepherd. He was originally contracted to just install the fences, but he ended up buying 350 goats to rent to several clients here and at other sites. So far, the new business seems promising.
With more and more people going to green and not wanting to use fossil fuels for stuff and all, I think it might be something to look into.
Wild says he comes to check on the goats twice a week to make sure they're healthy and doing their job. Julie Slacom is a biologist with the United States Fish and Wildlife Service in charge of this run.
They're doing an excellent job. They really are.
Slacom says this is the second summer season they have the goats, and they plan to continue their contract for a few more years.
It's kind of neat if you look at their teeth, because they've got bottom teeth, but they don't have top teeth.
Several state, local, and environmental organizations have joined efforts to pay $1 a day for each animal. The goats are part of the Habitat Restoration Project to save the bog turtle, the smallest turtle in North America. The invasive plants have dramatically changed the habitat for the turtle by producing large roofs that drain the water from the land and create unwanted shade.
Bog turtle is threatened under the Endangered Species Act, and the habitat that the bog turtle lives in is a pretty rare habitat.
Slacom says the use of machines or herbicides here could endanger the turtles, so the goats are an excellent alternative.
This is definitely the best option. I mean, they're doing the work for us. We come in, we check them, we make sure they're healthy and they're doing okay, but they're doing the work.
A few miles from here, another wetland is being restored for the bog turtles. A team from the state of Maryland come regularly to check not just on the turtles, but on the goats and sheep. The ranch is with the Maryland State Highway Administration.
Well, this is 8 acres, and it's a fairly large site. They tend to like to spend the afternoons in the shade under the trees to the north of us. Perhaps when we head out, we can call them and they'll come down.
The use of goats, sheep, and cattle are part of a growing environmental movement to cut the use of fossil fuel and chemicals in the land while using the eating power of animals. In California, sheep clear rows of grapevines while cattle take care of grasses that in the past have initiated fires.
Bye, girls!
For producers in the Palacio, Millar Sega, VOA News.
Okay, one last thing.
So I just wanted to show you, I'm Adora Andy, I work at EPA. I wanted to show you our favorite editorial cartoon. This is the administrator's favorite cartoon. We actually had the cartoonist, we bought it from the cartoonist and he signed it for her. Can you see it? It's on this site, it says, on the left side, it's the Global Climate Change Summit. It says energy independence. Preserve rainforests, sustainability, green jobs, livable cities, renewables, clean water, clean air, healthy children, et cetera, et cetera. And then on the left side, there's a man standing up saying, "What if it's a big hoax and we create a better world for nothing?" The end.
Okay, we're over time. We've got to get moving. Go ahead, Jay. Next, yes, lessons from the Gulf.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you all. This is great. Let's do this again next year, okay? Miami, everybody bring their funny stuff, and we'll keep it going.